Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The last words I just heard from a scared Chris Cody as he shakes his head no already before a word has been spoken. Hey, Dad, remember to unmute your microphone. So we will see if when we go to Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, we have success, because Stugatz, he's got problems with the Michael Jordan documentary. He's got problems, yes, with no fans, and fake noise at NFL games. We've got maximum cantankerous old person yelling at clouds, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald here. So go ahead, Greg. We've got Tim Grover, the trainer to Michael Jordan, is going to join us later in the show. But tell us what your problem is or was with the Michael Jordan documentary.
I thought the Jordan documentary series was great for what it was, but I think Ken Burns had a point. I think it was voyeurism more than journalism. And
I wish your microphone was muted right now. Can you clear your throat? Can you drink some water? Can you do whatever it is that needs to be done so that your phlegm isn't all over the listener to the program? And then we'll come back to you. All right. Drink some water. Get ready and I'll come back to you. All right.
I'm good right now. I'm good.
All right. Go ahead.
You sure?
I'm fine.
All right.
Well, actually, my voice sounds much better to me. I used to sound like the new vaudeville band singing Winchester Cathedral in 1966.
Oh, Jesus! Man, I wish his microphone had been muted, Chris! What kind of reference is that?
Google it, look it up and play it. It's a beautiful thing. But listen, the problem with the Jordan documentary, to me, if you're going to devote 10 episodes to something, it shouldn't be finely tuned to one season. I would have loved a true Jordan documentary that dealt with his entire life, including the present tense, including the fact that he sort of failed as an owner relative to all of his successes on the court.
Maybe we'll do that next time with the next 10-part documentary, the other stuff that we didn't cover on Jordan.
It was geared towards the final season because there were storylines in that final season, unlike any other season they had played in, with maybe the exception of the season that Jordan took off to play baseball. But I thought it did a very good job of bouncing back and forth between the second three championships and the first three championships. So I think it covered it all. I don't know what people were expecting, but I got exactly what it is I wanted.
I would like to stop talking about this. When can we stop talking about this? We've got Tim Grover today. I don't know if you saw what Channing Frye said, Stugatz, because Channing Frye yesterday, you blasted him and blistered him, as many people did, because Channing Frye said today's player would have some difficulty and wouldn't want to play with someone like Michael Jordan. But now he's going on Twitter and saying, Twitter sending me crazy DMs about my dead parents. parents over a Jordan take comes from a different place of hate outside of sports. Why in God's name is anyone badgering Channing Frye with so much love for Michael Jordan that you feel the need to take on his parents? It's just the general cruelty and the safety of the anonymity of the internet.
That's social media in sort of a nutshell, and it distracts from actually an interesting conversation, because who was the modern day Michael Jordan in terms of alpha male, win at all costs, treat people around you kind of like garbage? It was Kobe Bryant. And remember what happened every time Kobe Bryant went to one of those Lakers meetings to get a free agent? They couldn't even keep Dwight Howard, and they gave a king's ransom for Dwight Howard. Bringing Kobe into these meetings was a detriment. What happened with LaMarcus Aldridge was laughable. We laughed about it. So we actually do have a fairly decent comp in Kobe Bryant that might actually prove Channing Frye's point.
Dan, I'm gonna dip my toe into some waters here. I'm very nervous about doing it, and perhaps I'm gonna criticize Michael Jordan, and perhaps this could be the final word on the Last Dance documentary, and perhaps we can move forward after Tim Grover. Okay, I am nervous to do this. I haven't slept all night. I'm serious. I didn't sleep a wink last night. I am going to dip my toe into the criticism of Michael Jordan ocean.
Okay? Dip your toe already instead of telling us how many different ways and times you're going to dip your toe, and put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Are we perhaps going to move on after the Tim Grover interview?
I am tired of hearing about the seventh title. Okay, I am tired of hearing about criticism of Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause. And Michael Jordan, I hope you're listening. I don't want to hear about this mentality that if you win, you run it back. You did win. You won three consecutive titles, and you decided it was so difficult to be Michael Jordan that you wanted to take 2 years off. I'm tired of hearing about the seventh title you didn't win when you left 7 and 8 on the table because it was hard to be Michael Jordan, and you wanted to pursue some ridiculous dream of maybe one day batting .212 in the majors. Give me a break.
Wow, you didn't dip your toe. You skinny dipped, my friend. You jumped right in there with some of your signature takes of give me a break and zip it up and I'm done with this. And you are the first one, Stugatz. This is one of your signature moves. Congratulations on being the first one sick of something that we all began talking about yesterday. It's one of your greatest moves, to be sick of something immediately after it has made an appearance. Let me ask you this question. Are you so sick of Michael Jordan talk in this regard that you're not interested in, what a person for ESPN Upstate who, is on a show called Offsides, Mark Ryan, he claims that today he is going to have the person who poisoned Michael Jordan's pizza after all of these years. I don't know whether he is. I don't know who this person is, but he is touting a 3:20 Eastern interview in which he unmasks through a series of events, the guy or people who poisoned Michael Jordan's pizza. Is that or is that not, the get in sports today? Like if I give you,
that person over Michael Jordan, right?
Put that on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. If the show could get on one of two people today, who would you prefer, Michael Jordan or the guy who poisoned Michael Jordan's pizza? We got to get into it with Wilbon next, Stugatz, and also Michael Mann, who made Heat, you know, with Pacino and De Niro. He's writing a novel now, and he wants to do a prequel and a sequel to the movie Heat. I'm pretty sure Al Pacino's 80.
And Val Kilmer looks like he's 80.
Oh, my God. He's sick. He's sick. Nope.
Sorry.
Mute the laughter. Sick.
Take it back.
Sick. Yeah, but he does look like an old woman.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NFL will officially amend the Rooney Rule to require more interviews of minority candidates for head coaching and coordinator positions. New York, California, and Texas will reopen their states to professional sports in the near future. They will join Florida and Arizona in doing so. And finally, Matthew Perry has rejoined dating app Raya after splitting from Molly Hurwitz. Us Weekly reported the former Friendstar 50 is messaging girls and getting back into online dating again after originally deleting the app when he hooked up with Hurwitz. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
It seems fairly obvious, Stugatz, that John Bones Jones is going to fight as a heavyweight. And he's the best fighter I've ever seen in UFC. He has no challenges anymore in the division that he has dominated forever. The only opponent that he has is himself, and that just keeps fights closer than they should be. He still wins them, so I'm eager to see him gaining weight and heading up to the heavyweight division, even though I don't think he's made any announcements. He's just sort of hinting at it on social media.
So you've often called him the greatest fighter or one of the greatest fighters you've seen in that sport. Who would be his biggest challenge in the heavyweight? Well, first off, how do you think he would fare in the heavyweight division? That's a big step up.
It's an excellent question, but he doesn't have anything left to accomplish anywhere else, and so it's the greatest challenge. It will also solidify him. I think he'll fare fine. Like, he seems to think he will fare fine because his skill level is large. He thinks he can fight at 240 pounds, and I think that it will solidify him. For those who don't believe that he's the best pound-for-pound fighter ever, who give it to George St. Pierre or Anderson Silva or whoever else they might give it to, I think if he makes it into the heavyweight division, and that is one of the divisions that he ends up winning in, I don't want to see him exposed. I'd like to see him continue to look like a great champion, but in that division, anybody can finish you very quickly and leave damage to your legacy.
Yeah, they're huge punches in that division. And the heavyweight division is starting to get built back up again. Obviously, Cormier is still over there. Cormier has come down to fight John Bones Jones, and we've seen how that fight has gone with Cormier losing so much weight. Bones Jones is a natural heavyweight. The light heavyweight used to be the best division in the UFC, but it's a little light right now. You see the names that are still there, and they're names that you recognize from 10 years ago. So, I mean, Ngannou is a very promising heavyweight.
Well, that's the one he keeps challenging on Twitter.
Yeah, he's looked very impressive here recently, but if you look through his track record of fights now, there's always something to be said for a fighter improving, but there's some damning losses as he's continued this rise. Stipe is obviously a good fighter, and he's battled with health issues, and he's got Cormier now, but I think it presently is a bigger challenge for John Bones Jones, so I'd be happy to see it as the UFC heavyweight division is starting to get built back up again.
I'd like to go to some sound here that Dana White alerted me to. It's from John Oliver, and Bristol, if you can get that ready. I don't know if you saw this, Stugatz, because Dana White volunteered, hey, I like John Oliver. I think he's funny, but John Oliver's got it wrong in terms of some selective fact hunting that he's doing, in that we tested, the UFC tested 1,100 people and only three tested positive over three events. But the thing that John Oliver says here, and it's more of a visual joke than it is in this audio, an audio joke, is he can't believe that Dana White is calling this island Fight Island as opposed to calling it UFSEA, UFC as in the sea. So let's hear that sound from John Oliver being critical of the fact that the fights are back.
The UFC just last week started hosting matches in Jacksonville. And while they couldn't fly in international fighters for that event, their president, Dana White, has devised an insane workaround.
Fight Island is real. Fight Island is a real thing. It's really happening. The infrastructure is being built right now on the island. I'm ready to go.
Yes, the UFC is apparently building a facility on a private island that they're calling Fight Island. Now, is that a clever name? No. Is it the perfect name? Yes, because it's the first thought an idiot would have if they wanted to name a private island where fights happen. Now, they could have called it Brawlhammers or Puerto Ruckus or Aoi Maui or Slam Miguel, but he didn't. He didn't do that, and he didn't even go with the obvious name for an island where you stage UFC fights, which is simply UFC. Look at me, Dana. Why didn't you just call it UFC? It's perfect. But clearly, staging events is risky at the moment. Just the day before last weekend's UFC event, a fighter had to pull out after he and two of his corner men tested positive, underscoring the fact that if you want to come back completely without risk, that's just not possible right now.
Billy, I understand that you are already ready for the next ESPN documentary. I think it needs to be, Stugatz, about the Malice at the Palace. I think that that absolutely needs to be the next 10-part documentary series. I can't possibly get enough of that, but Billy is excited for the one that's coming out when? Is it this weekend that the next ESPN documentary hits? What are the details you can give us on the next ESPN doc, Billy?
Oh, Dan, I'm so excited. So all of us were here talking and we're like, hey, what's going to happen now when Michael Jordan leaves our life? And it's a very good question. So we're here like, does my life have meaning without Michael Jordan every Sunday? And I was thinking, no, it didn't have meaning without Michael Jordan every Sunday until I found out Lance Armstrong's going to come into my life every Sunday for two Sundays. So not every Sunday, but for two Sundays, Lance Armstrong is going to be the most important thing in my life. And I feel like everyone's going to get around their TVs just like they did for Michael Jordan. And Dan, be careful, because I feel like you may fall in love with Lance Armstrong.
Have you seen anything? Because they sent a screener out the other day. Have you seen anything about the Armstrong documentary? Are we going to cover a new ground? Because he pretty much, you know, fell on the sword in the Oprah interview a long time ago and then has since vanished. I found it hugely amusing. There are a couple of times I've gotten in trouble on ESPN for things that I have said on PTI. One I told you about recently, where I was suspended for a year without my knowledge because I called the Bobby Knight movie that they made starring Brian Dennehy a mountain of elephant crap, and PTI did not call me for a year after that and never explained why they weren't calling me. And then the suspension was lifted because I won't do propaganda shilling on behalf of the company, which is the other time I got in trouble, which is when I was talking about how all of the circumstantial evidence around Lance Armstrong was basically the same as all the circumstantial evidence around Barry Bonds, one of which we were chasing around with pitchforks, the other of which was hosting the ESPYs. So Lance Armstrong, like in terms of sports frauds, there haven't been a whole lot larger than Lance Armstrong, but I also am interested in sort of the moral conundrum is it okay to be a fraud if you raise an enormous amount of money for cancer research?
I mean, I saw a preview for it. Lance is going to spend a couple of Sundays trying to convince you that he's a really good guy, and it might just work. I would say the next three 30 for 30s are riveting. It is Lance Armstrong. It is Bruce Lee. It is Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and Sam Sosa. I mean, this is an exciting time in the 30 for 30 series, Dan. Very exciting time.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails.
Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. Tim Grover expected to join us here in just a second. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Golf Association has announced that the U.S. Open will go with an all-exempt field of golfers as local and sectional qualifying for the major has been canceled. The Big Three League has canceled this season and will focus on 2021 in the hopes of having fans in the stands. And finally, American Pie star Tara Reid is reportedly being considered for the role of Carol Baskin in an upcoming movie based on Netflix docuseries Tiger King. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
He didn't just train Michael Jordan. He did it with Pippen. He did it with Hakeem, with Kobe, with Dwayne, with Charles Barkley, although I probably think he doesn't tell a whole lot of people that one. I don't know if that one's a success story or not. But Tim Grover, and thank you for joining us, as a trainer for Scottie Pippen, we were talking yesterday that he was wounded and disappointed by his portrayal in the Last Dance documentary. What did you think of his portrayal, Scottie's portrayal in The Last Dance?
Well, you know what? I never worked for the organization. So a lot of the stuff that went on behind, you know, during practices with the organization, I wasn't really privy to all that information or to see exactly what was going behind that. My job was to, you know, keep Scottie healthy, deal with the different injuries along with this, along with the training staff, and allow him to play at the highest level. My relationship with Scottie, he showed up at every workout, did everything that he was supposed to do. I can never get into the person's head and into their life to know, hey, why they do certain things. Do I agree with a lot of things? Probably not, but I don't agree with a lot of things that a lot of players did on the team. I mean, you know, Dennis taking his trip to the wrestling in the Vegas and all that stuff, but that's not for me to manage. That was for Phil and the organization to manage. But I think Scottie came across, you know, very honestly came across the way he wanted to be portrayed in certain ways. You know, they asked him about that situation, that one, you know, whatever it was, 1.8, and he said he would do it again. At the last shot, he's like, his back was like, hey, I'm going to be a decoy, and that's all I can be. That's all I can be right now. And in the last, when that shot was coming up, he just said, I'm just getting out the way.
Is it true, Tim, that the way that you got into this locker room and this world is that you wrote all the Bulls a letter except for Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan was the only one who responded? Is that a true story?
That is 100% true. So what happened was, I was a kid out of college. I had just finished my master's in exercise science. I was working at a local health club, but I always knew this is what I wanted to do. I said, hey, I wanted to train professional athletes. There was a little segment in one of the newspapers that said Michael's tired of taking the physical abuse from the Detroit Pistons. Not like, all right. So, you know, back then there is no email. You just, so I just said, you know, I hand wrote letters and, you just throw them in the mail. You just send them to the practice facility. And, you know, like players, they get mail in their locker because it's fan mail. At least back then they did. And, you know, if somebody opened it, and I, for some reason, I don't know how that letter, how a letter ended up in Michael's hand. I don't know if he took it out of somebody else's locker, but he handed it over to the athletics trainer, who was Mark File at that time. And and Mark File contacted the team physician, who was Dr. John Heffron. And they both reached out to me and said, hey, we actually have somebody that's interested. They didn't tell me who it was. So 3 months going back and forth with those two individuals, because they wanted to know what my philosophy was, you know, how I trained, what my education was, did I actually know what I was doing? And then one day Mark File just tells me, he said, hey, we want you to meet the client after practice. Still to that moment, I don't know who it is. So they give me the address. I show up at the door. I ring the doorbell, because back then it was more of a modest house where you can just ring the doorbell. I rang the doorbell, and Michael Jordan opens up the door.
And that's how you end up in his life. Tim Grover, trainer for Michael Jordan and a host of other athletes with us on ESPN Radio. Were you around when Ron Artest fought Michael Jordan during a pickup game after Jordan's second retirement in Washington?
It actually happened in my gym, yes. I remember it wasn't a fight. So what happened was, it was a very contested game that they were playing, and it was a game point. And, you know, back then Ron Artest, as he was known, was, you know, he's very, very strong. And what he did was he reached around on Michael, because Michael was trying to post him up, and reached around and then grabbed him by the midsection and gave him a little elbow, and that's where that injury had occurred.
And so how good a fight was it? How good a clash was it, I should say?
It was a clash. I mean, they went back and they actually finished the game. So they went, you know, you could see that Michael was wincing when he was running up and down the court. We didn't know the extent of what had actually happened then. But like I said, it wasn't like a bare knuckle brawl or anything like that.
We're done with the softballs now, Grover. I'm going to interrogate you on Pizzagate. Are you ready for a whole lot of Pizzagate questions?
I figured I was waiting for this one. I know you've been waiting, so go ahead.
Right. Well, did he, after the Pizzagate incident, did he then have a royal taste tester? Was there something done so that would never happen again?
So it was funny that the next day when the food was being ordered, obviously, you know, that happened. There weren't that many games that were left after that. But what we would do is we'd end up all ordering the same thing. All right, so whatever he decided to eat, George had to order the same thing, I had to order the same thing, and it was kind of like playing Russian roulette. So we just like, all right, who's gonna pick and see what happens. So he kind of laughed it off. We kind of made fun of it afterwards.
So no taste tester after that, is
no,
it
no
true?
Taste, no taste tester. Maybe if there was going to be another season afterwards, hey, you know, possibly that would have been a job that could have been created.
Is it true that the report's true that Michael Jordan would spit on food so others would not eat it?
So Michael was very territorial about his food. You know, it was like this is my food. He didn't like anybody picking up any food off of his plate or so forth. Now, when he would say he would spit on his food, it's not like he took a big noogie and, you know, this big thing that landed on. He would like playfully, you know, kind of like do one of the on his food just so no to claim, hey, this is mine. But it wasn't like, you know, he was like getting way down deep in the throat and in the nostrils to put this big thing on his food.
Why didn't Michael Jordan either sue the pizza place or at least put them on his incredibly long grudge list?
You know what? It to this day, if we would have remembered where we ordered that pizza was, George and I have been going back and forth. Yeah, he doesn't remember. I don't remember. But I do remember after that, pizza was definitely off the list.
One more question on this front. We'll see if Cody or Stugatz have any questions. How much Hennessy was used to chase down that pizza?
During that time, none. All right. So one thing I want to clarify, and before you guys get into this, and I was ready for this one. All right. So in that three-peat run, all right, Michael never missed a game, never missed a practice, never missed a workout, and averaged 38 minutes a game. How many players in this generation, and you guys will have better references and stats, let's say over the last 10 years, played every single game for three straight years and played 38 minutes. Now, everyone knows Michael enjoyed a cocktail from time to time, but not to the point where it was going to be detrimental to his performance on the basketball court.
But Tim, he retired because he was tired. it was detrimental to his performance in that we didn't get to see it very much after that because he was tired.
Well, remember what he said. He wanted to come back now. He did say, listen, if I'm not going to play for a new coach. All right. I'm not going to play for a new coach at this stage in my career. This is what I want. This is what I want to do. We saw in the documentary. Would Michael have placed himself and the training and the nutrition and all that stuff and would have adjusted like it did every single year? He would have came back. Listen, he was probably more mentally tired of everything that he had to go through during that last season than he was physically tired.
True or false question? Tim Grover, trainer to Michael Jordan, is mortified by how many cigars he was smoking and how many beers he was drinking after games.
The beers weren't as bad because we were able to get a control on that. Now the cigar thing. So what happened? How that started was one day I just see him and he's smoking cigars and I'm just looking at him. And he goes, I'm not going to stop. He goes, this is something I started. I really enjoy. He goes, it's your job to find out how to keep me performing at the highest level while I'm still going to smoke cigars. So I said, this is what I hired you for. It's your job to figure it out. Now I know somebody said that he was doing six cigars a day. No. All right. The most I had ever seen him smoke during a season, or it was three, and they weren't complete. It wasn't like he smoked it from one end to the other.
Tim, good talking to you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He had a chance. Listen, he tested things, and if you could perform at that high level and still enjoy your cigars, so be it. You know, for some people, that's what it takes.
Tim, good talking to you. Thank you for stopping through, sir.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Love your show.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jeff Passan going to join us in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Golf Association has announced that the U.S. Open will go with an all-exempt field of golfers as local and sectional qualifying for the major has been canceled. The Big Three League has canceled this season and will focus on 2021 in the hopes of having fans in the stands. And finally, Chuck E. Cheese appears to be going by a new name on Grubhub. The well-known pizza chain franchise has an offshoot brand it's using on the food delivery app, which goes by Pasquale's Pizza and Wings. Okay. Tomorrow is National Streaming Day, so there's no better time to start streaming sports and exclusive originals on ESPN+. ESPN+ is the home of UFC, international soccer, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com or head to DisneyPlus.com/DisneyBundle to get the streaming hat trick of Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus for just $12.99 a month. What a great deal. Seriously. Sit back, relax, and get your stream on. It's always streaming season on ESPN Plus. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
It took Netflix, Stugat, 7 years and 5 months to get to 50 million subscribers. It took Disney Plus 5 months to get to 50 million. Now, to be fair, though, it's because of Netflix
right.
and because of everything instigated by Netflix. Of course, it's going to end up taking them longer, but it took Netflix 7 years, 5 months, and it took Disney Plus only 5 months. Jeff Passan wrote that story about all the details, and it seems exhaustive. It seems like a really complicated, difficult thing to do. So Jeff Passan with us now on ESPN Radio, getting baseball back. What would you say to the person who didn't read the article, Jeff, and thank you for joining us, are the details that are most interesting to you in terms of the lengths that have to be gone to keep everyone safe here?
When I got this document, Dan, it was pretty late on a Friday night, and I started digging into it, and it was 67 pages long. And by the 67th page, after I had looked at a diagram of what fielding practice needs to look like to be properly socially distanced, I said to myself in the wee hours of the morning, there's no way baseball's coming back this year, because it was that daunting a prospect to implement all of these things. I mean, everything from standing 6 feet apart during the national anthem to no spitting, to no dipping, to no sunflower seeds, no hot tub, no cold tub, no cryotherapy. You can't have a clubhouse spread. You have to have every dinner wrapped up separately. And, oh, if you're going to eat with your teammates, you better be 6 feet away from them because you have to socially distance at the dinner table. Then when you go back to the hotel, if you're on the road, you're not allowed to leave because, well, we don't want you getting COVID and bringing it back. And if you do decide to leave, we're not going to say what's going to happen to you exactly, but we might chop one of your fingers off. I mean, that's what the detail of this document felt like. They were going to put penalties in place for leaving your hotel, and these are grown men. And this gets back to your skepticism originally from the Arizona plan a couple months ago, right, where you said there's no way they can pull this off. It's going to be really hard for them to pull something like this off, and yet this is the choice that they have. And I think we're going to see how badly owners want baseball to be played and how badly players want to play baseball.
Jeff, I read your story, and I said to myself, this isn't possible. They can't. I read your story, and I'm like, they can't execute this.
I think they can execute it. Let's put it this way. What in there individually, Dan, do you think they can't do? That's what I get back to. Collectively, it is a lot to deal with. But I also believe that humans are very adaptable creatures, maybe baseball players a little less so, but that there was no one thing in there that to me said this is going to be impossible. The hardest thing, honestly, that I thought was on the doctors, because if you have, you know, 150 to 175 people potentially that you have to go and screen before this whole thing begins, it's an enormous amount of time and pressure on the doctors who are going to be doing this and ensuring that everybody comes in a healthy fashion. The stuff that the ball players are going to do, like, look, when they negotiate with MLB, they're going to get their showers back. Like, there's a clause in the protocol that says we suggest that players don't shower after the game. That's not going to happen. They're going to get the shower. They're going to do their thing. And I think the big question that comes out of this is, if it happens, if they're able to get back on the field, just how strongly will they enforce this sort of stuff? Are you telling me guys are going to get fined for spitting or chewing sunflower seeds or dipping? Or if you're within 5 feet of someone during the national anthem, they're going to fine you? Like, I don't know. It seems like this document, Dan, exists for health reasons, certainly, but exists as much as anything to placate local health officials who are going to need to rubber stamp, in addition to governors, mayors, and the federal government, the return of baseball.
Jeff, is it worth it?
I mean, I think so. And not just because the prospect of spending the next 6 months without baseball in America, like, kind of depresses me. But I think it's worth it for the players because they want to get paid and they want to go out and play. I think it's worth it for the owners because there are going to be a bunch of them who are in pretty bad financial situations, granted, financial situations of their own making, because this has been an industry that for decades now, profits have grown exponentially. And for clubs to put themselves in this position where they're over-leveraged, completely their fault. And yet, they still don't want to lose their teams. So if the easiest way and best way for them to maintain their teams is to have baseball back, then yeah, they want it back too. And I think that there is still a great enough desire for, on behalf of both teams and players and the league and the MLB Players Association, for them to figure something out to get back onto the field. Now, will they stay there? Will COVID allow that? I have no idea. But I do still think that they're motivated enough to get past all of these hypotheticals and all of these questions and get back out there.
One last question for Elmo. What did Elmo think of A-Rod and Mark Teixeira coming out publicly as players need to take pay cuts?
Are you really going to make me talk bad about my teammates? Come on, Dan. That's not nice.
Thank you, Jeff. You are doing great work, sir. Good talking to you. Thank you for making the time for us.
Gentlemen, thank you as always. Hope everyone's well and take care.
Likewise. We get Greg Cody on the Hard Network out next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Lance Armstrong's rise was among the most dramatic, inspirational, and popular stories in sports history. Then, his fall was remarkably absolute. Years later, his story remains as compelling as ever, and as for the man himself, he's not done talking. The latest 30 for 30, Lance, premieres with Part 1 this Sunday at 9 p.m. on ESPN. Part 1 will be available to stream on ESPN Plus immediately following the conclusion of the broadcast. No Jalen and Jacoby post-show, huh? All right. Here's your SportsCenter update. Ben Roethlisberger posted a video of him throwing footballs to teammates and followed through on his promise to get a haircut and shave to mark the occasion. I feel like we all lost there. NFL engineers at sports equipment company Oakley are testing prototypes of modified face masks that might contain surgical or N95 material. And finally, N.O.R.E. has announced that Eminem and DMX have agreed to do a versus battle. That is versus with two Z's. If you love Nature Valley sweet and salty bars, you'll love the new sweet and salty minis. It's all the indulgent savory goodness you know, now in a smaller size. And at 100 calories, snacking has never been so sweet. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Are you disappointed that Big Ben will not be playing a full season with that hobo beard protruding outside his face mask? We will get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day in a second. I am scared. He has had weeks to prepare. His work has been shoddy lately. It's been erratic. And so I am hoping that this Back in My Day is better than recent efforts. You said you needed a couple of weeks to lick your wounds. What is your level of confidence on this Back in My Day before we get to it, Greg Cody?
It's hard for me to gauge anymore, to be honest with you, but I will just say that this is sort of a gumbo. It meanders a little bit, but I'm okay with it.
Okay, a ringing endorsement to stick around for the back in my day. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cody family. One of them says his work is okay. The other one recycles and reheats his work from last week, which wasn't that good because what he says isn't memorable to even him. But the first thing I wanted to do before we got to that back in my day, and Stephen A. Smith is going to join us in about 10 minutes, but did you see what Michael Phelps ended up doing with ESPN.com as part of telling a story, Stugat, that I imagine a whole lot of people right now are connecting with, which is what mental illness feels like during this particular set of circumstances? Did you see anything of this?
I did not. No, I'm sorry. I know you keep asking me if I saw anything of anything, and I keep saying no, but that's, you know, that's what's going on in my house.
That's what's going on in your house, is that you're not working, that you get there, sit in front of the microphone, and haven't read anything before we start?
I am just, listen, I am not reading. I am just speaking. I spend my afternoon speaking to people like Mike Breed.
The pandemic has been a challenge I never expected. All the uncertainty, being cooped up in a house, and the questions, so many questions. When's it going to end? What will life look like when this is over? Am I doing everything I can to be safe? Is my family safe? It drives me insane. I'm used to traveling, competing, meeting people. This is just craziness. My emotions are all over the place. I'm always on edge. I'm always defensive. I'm triggered so easily. There are times when I feel absolutely worthless, where I completely shut down, but have this bubbling anger that is through the roof. If I'm being honest, more than once I've just screamed out loud, I wish I was not me. Sometimes there's just this overwhelming feeling that I can't handle it anymore. I don't want to be me anymore. It's almost like that scene in The Last Dance where Michael Jordan is on the couch smoking a cigar and he's just like, done, break. He can't take it anymore. This is the most overwhelmed I've ever felt in my life. That's where I have times where I don't want to be me. I wish I could just be Johnny Johnson or some random person. His sport, Stugat, is particularly lonely. It is among the loneliest of the big sports. He was better at it than most. Mental illness doesn't act kindly in circumstances that are normal, and it doesn't act kindly here. I would have thought, Stugat, that Michael Phelps, absent mental illness, would be uniquely qualified to be alone because of what he was great at, and because that at 5 in the morning in a pool for hours by yourself isn't exactly camaraderie, even when you have teammates.
I would think the same thing, but Michael Phelps needs to know that he's not alone, that there are a lot of people going through the same thing that Michael Phelps is going through. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what the right answers are. I don't know if my daughter should be going to a party yet or not. I don't know if they should be swimming in a swimming pool with a couple of their friends. And it drives me crazy, and I'm on an emotional roller coaster as well. So I hope at the very least Michael Phelps knows that he's not alone, that there are a lot of people who are dealing with similar issues right now.
We segue seamlessly from mental illness into senility with Greg Cody of the Miami Herald. Let's play his intro music.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Robot vacuums. So, I macheted through a pandemic the other day to visit Christopher in his home. And I see what looks like a foot-wide hockey puck moving slowly across his living room floor. What the? It's a robot vacuum, says my daughter-in-law, except she used the brand name. It looks like something futuristic from the Jetsons. I'd heard of robot vacuums, but never seen one in action. I hadn't been startled by technology in quite that way since the time I opened my hotel room door in Chicago and a robot the size of R2-D2 held my bucket of ice. Later that day, my younger son happened to say to me, as if just realizing it, I am older than Google. And I couldn't tell if he was bragging or lamenting. It got me to thinking. I'm older than microwave ovens, computer hard drives, Velcro, and AA batteries. I remember life before smartphones, when if you were on a long trip with no phone booth handy, you were incommunicado, fella. I miss that. I enjoyed that untethered, unreachable feeling. Back then, my wife and I agreed to meet another couple somewhere, and if they're really late, there's no way to reach them. Nothing you can do but assume they're dead. Back then, Alexa was not there to help. No instant answers. If you needed right then to know the capital of Botswana, and there was nobody smarter than you around, you were plain out of luck. Anybody else remember TV guides? Those fat little magazines had all the answers about the schedules. Back when you watched a program exactly on the day and time the god cathode ray instructed. The phrase on-demand streaming hadn't been invented. Neither had binge-watching. Binge-eating, yes. It's a strange thing. The older you get and the more technology makes your life easier, the more you want to cast back to simpler times, even if those times were more complicated. So, the robot vacuum is quietly doing its thing across Christopher's floor, and I'm back at 1440. I'm 12, ensconced in my bedroom, trying not to hear a loud game of Mahjong, and in between cracks and bams, another woman is chiding my mother for not having an upright vacuum cleaner yet. Mom still used an old-fashioned horizontal bullet-shaped Electrolux that weighed like 80 pounds and sounded like a jet engine ramping up just before takeoff. Inexplicably, I miss that noisy thing so much. Robots be damned. I'm Craig Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Excellent use of the comedic fella there, Greg Cody. Stephen A. Smith joins us next.
Thank you.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Stephen A. Smith joins us thanks to My Computer Career Training for a Better Life.
Latest South Beach session is the more interesting of two interesting parts with Bob Costas. Check that out wherever it is you do your downloading. Stephen A. Smith was a very interesting South Beach session. He joins us tonight. Tonight he's got After the Dance with Stephen A. Smith, a SportsCenter special. It is at 9 p.m. Eastern on ABC. We will talk to him about that in a moment. But Stephen A., the guys around this show, so mesmerized, so hypnotized by your aura, do not believe that you do the normal things that other normal human beings do during this time. So I have a handful of questions for you. Is Stephen A. Smith, and thank you for joining us, by the way, is Stephen A.
Well,
Smith...
Well, thank you. But just so you know, before you even start, it's on ABC tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern, not 9.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry about
sure.
that.
Don't worry about it. Chris, okay. Chris, just wanted to make sure I had the right time.
Chris Cody, you have no future in this business. Does Stephen A. Smith mop or sweep his own floors right now?
Sweep, yes. Mop, no. My house cleaner comes, and my house cleaner comes twice a month, and you know she'll mop all the floors for me, that kind of stuff. But I do sweeping because you know you spill stuff all the time, stuff like that. I take out my own garbage. I wash my own dishes. I sweep the floors. I make my own bed. I do my own laundry. Those kind of things because I grew up doing all of that stuff, and I never stopped.
Mike Ryan, why are you so shocked by this? Because if you were in Stephen A.'s position, you wouldn't be doing any of these things for yourself. I'm surprised you got time to do those things for yourself.
Yeah, I'm surprised he has time. I imagine he still does all of these in a three-button suit. And I assume that he just had a team of Roombas.
Nah, you want, like, for example, that it's not always about watching TV. I mean, there's one or two extremes. Usually I'm reading and writing or I'm watching TV, but I like to listen to my R&B music a lot. And so what happens is I walk around with my headphones, and while I'm listening to my music, it gets me up, and then I'll do things while I'm up listening to my music. So that's where it comes into laundry or cleaning my room or, you know, stuff like sweeping or the things of that nature. I like to do stuff like that while I'm listening to music.
an after dark silk robe, of course, is involved in the proceedings, right? After midnight.
Well, not a silk robe, but it might be late. It's definitely after dark, and it speaks for itself.
Do you, Amazon boxes going to end up at Stephen A. Smith's house because he's ordered something online? Yes or no?
Yes.
How much binge watching is Stephen A. Smith doing?
Not much. I loved Scandal when it was on the air, so I watched stuff like that. And then, you know, I binged watch All American with starring Taye Diggs. That was on Netflix. You know, I saw a couple of other spots as well. Plus, I like to watch some of the movies that I really, really watch. Like, you know, Tropic Thunder was an hilarious movie to me. I watched that. Gladiator is one of my all-time favorite movies. Clear and Present Danger, Forrest Gump. You know, I mean, the list just goes on. Of course, Malcolm X, those kind of movies and stuff like that. So, I mean, I watch and I love Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible movies, Rogue Nation, Ghost Protocol, Fallout, all of that stuff. I love those kind of movies as well. So I go back and forth with those kind of things, and I'll just sit back and watch. But then remember, I also watch my soap operas because I don't watch General Hospital Live, which I have a recurring role on. I DVR those. And so because of it, you know, a lot of times I'm sitting here and to catch up on those shows, I'll binge watch that, what I missed for that particular week, stuff like that. Make sure I watch all the episodes to catch up on things.
I love how much you love that show. I love that it is a career highlight for you to be on General Hospital. I love that you asked your character carry a gun on General Hospital.
They still haven't let me do that yet. And they haven't let me, you know, either participate in planning or commit a murder. I'm not happy about that. I would like them. I'm a bad guy. I work for the mob. I would like to do something like that. I really would.
You mentioned Tropic Thunder. And again, After the Dance with Stephen A. Smith, it's a Sports Center special. It's 8 p.m. tonight on ABC. You can check it out. I love so much the General Hospital thing, though. I can't stop thinking about the idea. How many appearances have you had so far?
I don't even know. I can't count them. I've been on there numerous times because I have a recurring role. It's not like a cameo or anything like that. My character's name is Brick. I'm a surveillance expert for the mob. And when my boss, Sonny Corinthos, the mobster on the show, needs me, here I come. And I was supposed to be there for the entire month of May, but the pandemic shut everything down. So they had to postpone. I wasn't going to be out there the entire month, obviously, because I had NBA playoffs to cover if there had been no pandemic. But I certainly was going to be out there a significant chunk of May just to film numerous episodes. But obviously that got postponed. So who knows when they'll have me back. But I show up periodically throughout the year.
Wait, Stephen A., I grew up watching a lot of General Hospital. Like, I was obsessed with it. Are you telling me Sonny Corinthos is still a storyline?
Man, listen, not only is he the storyline, he's the star of the show. He does a phenomenal job, and I wish I could sit here with a straight face and tell you that I can act, because I can't, but he thinks I can. But it's really because of him and their cast. They are so wonderful to me, and, you know, they coach me through scenes and all of that stuff. And like I told Dan a few weeks ago, it's kind of scary because, you know what, when it's your time to show up on set, you got to know your lines, because if you don't, you hold up everybody. And that's exactly what you don't want to do. So it's a real professional environment. But those guys, they treat me like family, especially Maurice Bernard, who plays Sonny Corinthos on the show. He and I are good friends. We text each other all the time. We communicate all the time. And I can't thank him enough for how helpful he's been. But I also get helped by the enemy as well, because the guy that plays Victor Newman, his name is Eric Braden for Young and the Restless. He's also an incredibly good friend of mine. And we always meet up when I'm out in Hollywood. And, you know, both of those guys have helped me immensely. They really have.
How many of your incredibly good friends are going to be on After the Dance with Stephen A. Smith, a Sports Center special tonight, ABC, 8 p.m., Magic Johnson, and who else? What else you got for
them? Well, they are acquaintances, and then they are friends, and, you know, people that you're really close to and you really hang out with. I mean, I'm friends with Magic Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal and Anthony Anderson. I know Whoopi Goldberg well. I've known her for years, and Robin Roberts. They'll all be on the show tonight, and plus you'll have me. So what else do you need?
What is it that you guys are going to be doing that is going to be a little bit different? What is the extra incentive beyond you
just
being
talking
about
their perspective off of what they saw and what it'll mean for the game moving forward. And obviously from Whoopi's perspective, you know, a little political stuff. And then with Robin Roberts, you know, she's known Jordan for many, many years. So you got all of that going on, and that has a lot to do with it.
How did the special come to be, Stephen A.? How did it come to be on ABC?
Huh?
How did it come to be on ABC?
They called me and asked me to do it, and it was my first venture into executive producing in an official capacity. Obviously, I play a very significant role in doing First Take every weekday morning. But the flip side to all of that is that when it comes to you know, to having an official role as an executive producer, this was my first time ever doing that. So I'm an executive producer on this particular show, which obviously gives you some say in the actual content that ends up on the air. You guys would know that just as well as I would. And I'm very appreciative of that. So I'm excited about the opportunity. Plus, it's the first time that I've ever had an opportunity to host anything on network television, because believe it or not, even though I've been to ESPN since 2003, and obviously ABC is under the same Walt Disney umbrella, it's the first time that I've had an opportunity to play such a role on ABC, on network television. It's never happened for me in my career.
Well, congratulations, sir. Look forward to it tonight. Hope you stay safe. Thank you. Good talking to you, Stephen A.
Thank you, guys.